Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to our amazing show that we have for you today. We have some incredible guests with us who I'm going to tell you about in just a moment. Many of you already know who they are, but we are going to get started in a moment, open in prayer. Hello to everybody jumping on in the United States and around the world. We're so glad to have you here. We see people jumping on from Ireland, New Zealand, South Africa. It's so wonderful to see so many states in the United States of America, and we're happy to have you here. And to our Ark of Grace team and our moderators, thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. It very much is a team effort. So I'm going to open up in prayer, and then I'm going to tell you about our wonderful guests. We also have an update on diesel, because there have been things transpiring with diesel that some of you are aware of, but something else happened. And I have to give you the update, because the Lord worked an absolute miracle. And so I'll do that. So we'll open up in prayer, and then we will get started. Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. Father, we praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up, far above every power, principality, and might. Lord, we humble ourselves before you this day. Father God, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Father. Lord, we all fall short, Father, and we praise you. Your mercies are new every single day. Lord, we acknowledge you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, to the earth, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb and the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He paid the highest price for the greatest debt in history, the sins of humanity. Father, we praise you that he rose again in 3 days miraculously, ascended back into heaven, took his victorious rightful place at your right hand, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is our advocate before your throne, and we honor that before you this day. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we invite your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, to fill this place, Father, that you would go before us, that your power, Father God, and your word would go before us, Father God. Lord, we welcome your presence in to have your way, Father, in Jesus' name. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. We are the dust of the earth without your Spirit breathed into us, Lord. Father, we praise you, and let your name be glorified above all, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. I always like to start it off in prayer. I know I sound like a broken record, but I love to start it off in prayer, because God is a God of order. And when we put the Lord first and allow him to go before us, his Spirit goes before us, and it's just amazing. So who do we have with us today? Well, Dog the Bounty Hunter and his lovely wife, Francie, are here with us, and we're going to be bringing them on in just a few minutes. I know many of you have been asking for an update on diesel. I do have pictures for you also, so let me explain to you what happened at 5 a.m. yesterday morning. So at 5 a.m., I was woken up. My sanctuary manager, Courtney, called me. Diesel had already had emergency surgery, as all of you know. He was impacted, and he was at an incredible horse hospital in our town. And so there I am with Diesel yesterday. Yep, we all went. Me, Courtney, and Julia went to see Diesel yesterday and visit with him. But while he was in the hospital, he became increasingly uncomfortable. Something was very wrong. And Courtney called me at 5 a.m. and said, you need to get on the phone with Dr. Cook, because Diesel, they're going to have to open him back up. So I got on the phone with Dr. Cook, and Dr. Cook, an incredible surgeon, did not have high hopes. Diesel is 21 years old. He was abandoned by his owner at the stable that we have one of our other horses, Prince, at. And we were actually asked by one of our vets if we could possibly take Diesel on. And the Lord led me to do it. And this is probably why. And so I got on the phone with Dr. Cook. He did not have high hopes. He thought actually that Diesel's colon was beginning to die. And so I said, Dr. Cook, look, you go do what you need to do, and I'm going into prayer. And that's exactly what I said to him on the phone. And we hung up and I went into prayer and I said, Lord, I rebuked in Jesus' name every premature death, sickness, disease on this horse. But then I said, Lord, when they open this horse up in the name of Jesus Christ, let them be shocked by what they find, because it's not going to be what they think. And I am speaking to those intestines to live in Jesus' name. And I'm marching around my living room doing this at 5:30 a.m. in the morning now. And so 3 hours later, they call me all excited. Dr. Cook calls also, and he says, Amanda, we opened him up and it's not what we thought it was. So praise God. It's not what we thought it was. He was impacted and we got it in time because his intestines are all alive. Everything is intact. So with your permission, we're going to clean him out and we are going to make sure this doesn't happen again. So they did. They had to make another incision, actually. He has two large incisions now. So we went to see him yesterday and he is heavily medicated right now to be able to deal with this. But praise God, God was merciful and the Lord brought Diesel through this, and the surgeons were incredible. I told them we were praying for them. I said, listen, Dr. Cook, there's a lot of prayer going up for this horse and your team right now. He said, good, we need it. So it was wonderful. They were excited. We were excited. The Lord was merciful. And so Diesel is, in their care unit there. And so basically he is getting post-op care, and we will continue to keep updated because we are going every day. Members of our team are going every day to see Diesel, to talk with the doctors, and to make sure we're going to be able to bring him home when it's appropriate to do so. So thank you for all of your prayers and continuing to pray for Diesel. We take it very seriously that the Lord has commissioned us to take care of these animals. So I just wanted to give you all an update. Now, and Dog and Francie have been listening to this backstage as I have been saying all of this. But let's bring them in now. Dog the Bounty Hunter and his lovely wife, Francie.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. It is lovely to have you guys on.
Thank you so much for having us.
So I have to tell you guys a little story. I know you heard my Diesel story just now, but there's another story, and I figured it would be good to tell it along with all of you while I'm getting my notes up here that I made from reading your amazing book. So let me think how long ago this was, maybe about 15, 16 years ago, right? I was very ill. I mean, I was paralyzed in a wheelchair at one point. I was so ill. And at the one point when I was so ill, I was walking with a cane. I'm like 26 years old, right? I'm in a lot of pain. The doctors have me on a lot of medication to deal with it, because basically my immune system turned on my nervous system and attacked it till it damaged it. And it caused a whole slew of things to happen in my life. I would watch to get through the Dog the Bounty Hunter. I would. I would absolutely lay there for hours and watch.
He's crying.
Oh, I'm serious. I would lay in bed and would help take my mind off the pain, you know, as I would have to take, you know, the medicine and everything the doctors had given me at that point. And it would distract me. And it would, I would love to see him also witness to the people he caught, and in the trucks, he would start witnessing to them. And I'm like, this is great. They're getting Jesus before they go to jail. This is how it should be. So then they can think long and hard about it when they get in there. But For years, I went through this, and I would do that. And I wanted you guys to know that.
Thank you.
That's so awesome.
Well, I don't say, on the ground MF anymore.
And, well, please get on the ground doesn't work many times, right, with this of type times, of person.
I once, Billy Graham's son, what's his name?
Franklin.
Franklin met me in Fox, in a green room one day in Fox News. He said, your shows are guilty pleasure. And he said, but could you please put saying on the ground, mother effer? And I said, yeah, well, sometimes freeze in the name of Jesus don't work. And he said, I get it. And as he walked away, he turned around real quick and said, have you tried it? And so,
okay,
I can't wait to shoot someone, beat him down and say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, freeze, I'll blow your brains out.
So you might have a deliverance right there on the ground.
Yes. So thank you, though, very much. That's really, thank you.
Yeah, I still to this day, I mean, I go watch. I go watch clips and I go watch, and it's a lot of fun for me. So you, too, have been very busy.
Yes.
Yes.
We have.
Yes. You wrote a book, which I love the title, Nine Lives and Counting.
Yes, I do too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to name it Me and Jesus Got Our Own Thing Going, but my PR girl, Jennifer Willingham, and Francie named the book. So, and I was supervised. Our ghostwriter was
Wendy Walters.
Wendy Walters. We got to give her kudos.
Yes. She's she is amazing.
Yes.
And she did such an amazing job. And we're so grateful to her for wrangling dog.
Whatever. You're the wrangler.
Yes. I'm usually the wrangler, but she helped.
I can relate, Francie, with my hubby. He might come busting in for all we know in the middle of this. So just be prepared. Go on.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, but listen, I'm full of Holy Ghost. I don't need no supervision.
Yes, he needs supervision because most of the time that he's speaking, I'm in the front row. Shut up, ba ba ba. Come on, God, watch his mouth.
We have to do that sometimes. I'm interceding constantly for my husband. I don't know if you know the backstory of my husband, but my husband miraculously survived a brain rupture that was 0% survival.
Wow.
And he has a traumatic brain injury. So the fact he can even walk is a miracle. He does fight speech issues and cognitive issues, but the fact he's even here and can walk is a miracle. And we are constantly supervising and making sure nothing crazy is going to go down.
I know what you're going to say. You lay hands on me when I'm sleeping.
Oh, yes. I lay hands on his back every night while he's sleeping, praying over him. But I didn't know who Dog was.
Uh-huh.
So I love, love, love hearing the stories that when people come up and share about how they were in the worst place, or they were had surgery, or they were on chemo or radiation, and his show got them through. And for the longest time, when we were first together, I hadn't even watched the show. And he's working on a new podcast, and so we had to start looking up different things that he wanted to share from the show and behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And so I started watching, and he said, don't go to season one, because, you know, it's the first season and it's pretty bad.
Season one was wild.
And so I think I started watching in three. And so I put my earbuds in because he doesn't like to hear himself talk when on the show while I'm watching. And so I put my earbuds in and I'm watching, and, you know, 15 minutes in, I'm bawling my eyes out because I'm like, this is so amazing, honey. Like, I was so excited. You're so good. And I just hadn't watched. And I didn't see him in that light because I hadn't watched the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just rocked me. And for a week straight, I was crying over him in the show, over all the things that he did in the backseat ride, and how he poured into these guys. And I mean, I see him doing that every day, everywhere we go. But to actually see him on TV and doing it, just, it rocked me. And I cried over it for a week.
Oh, you know, it's interesting because he'd do two things. So he would, no, three things that I can remember. He would offer them a cigarette. That was number one. And then he'd teach them about Jesus. And many times he'd stop at McDonald's or someplace to get them something to eat before he took them to prison.
Yeah.
Well, there were four things. First, I beat him down.
Well, that's number one, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Give him a cigarette, then give him an ultimatum. And if they didn't, you know, if they didn't at least repent or start their life over, then I would make sure that they were known as a snitch in jail. So I used, what do you call it, trickery?
Kingdom trickery.
Kingdom trickery on him.
Deceive the deceiver.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
That's good.
Kingdom trickery. That's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When we were at a rehearsal dinner, a guy came out from the kitchen with the owner who we knew and asked if he could share a story. And we said, of course. And he proceeded to tell us that 6 years earlier, he was addicted to meth and was robbing and stealing. And I think he even might have hit his mom. And that Dog arrested him and he got the backseat ride, and that for 6 years he had been working in the kitchen and building his way up. He started as a dishwasher and then he was almost head cook now.
Mm-hmm.
And it how what Dog did for him changed his life. So I just thought that that was so incredible for that to happen at our rehearsal dinner before we got married. So it was an amazing thing to have confirmation of everything that Dog's done.
Cyrus just went and touched the shofar. Yeah. He's got an obsession with the shofar. That's what he was doing while you were talking. Well, you know, because there are men and women that have to be reached a certain way for the Lord, right? And what better than somebody that has walked that road to say, look, you can't fool me because I've been where you've been.
Yeah.
Well, enough about me. Let's talk about Francie. So she is, wow. I'm sure you read in the book How We Met.
Yes, I actually did. I want to get into that a little bit.
She was raised Jewish and, you know, found her real mother. And the way she is preaching, and, you know, I've said this a few times, I'm also now known as Mr. Francie.
Stop it.
So I have got to praise in the morning, get the Bible. I can't read, so I have it read out loud to me. And we just went to Rob Parsley's church in Ohio.
Yes.
And he rocked. It was all pastors and evangelists in there mostly. And we got rocked, right? I mean, it's amazing.
It was
so
amazing.
Even though you women ate the apple and we tried to get you not to do it.
You didn't try.
Oh,
you were supposed to protect us.
Well, here, Tess.
She's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, but what an amazing woman of God gave me, man.
Oh, I love you.
She is so, and her ministry is just growing and growing and growing. And I wanted to get this book out quick because she's going to write a book called Dog's Wife. And I got to get it out there literally before.
That'll be a bestseller.
Yes. And I want to get mine out before hers takes over mine. So that's the truth. The absolute truth. So she is outstanding, incredible. And no, I wouldn't say this. I lost Beth 5 years ago, a few days ago, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you read the story about my son who we found, mm-hmm. or he found us. And I was very kind of lukewarmish, but you know, I've raised the Assembly of God. I knew what to do.
Me too.
And mm-hmm. I was, Francie wants me to say, I just was freaking evil. And all of a sudden, after Beth passed away and I was alone, and I pull over and say, God, you know, I'm going to go back to the devil's disciples, hell's angels. I need a woman. And man, what a prayer that God answered. So in the last 4 years, you know, as Plain Talk Kim, what's your name?
Real Talk Kim.
Real Talk Kim says, I was on a slip and slide. And boy, did God plant my feet on higher ground. It is amazing what I have found in a woman. And it's just, you know, I always tell her, she lost her former husband, 6 months before I lost Beth?
A year.
Before. And I always tell her, I know there won't be given in marriage in heaven, but we'll all have a mansion and I'm going to arm wrestle Bob for you. So I want her, and I'm keeping her in heaven too. As the Bible says,
you won't care about that when we get there.
Yeah, we will. We'll be known on earth as we're known in heaven.
Yes, yes.
But
you'll be my wife.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I found something very profound at the beginning of this book that you share, and it's very real and it's very raw. And I think more people need to understand that the Lord happens to do things like this. But you have this profound exchange between you and Beth, where she tells you the Lord is taking her out of your life, that she's been holding you back, and you were meant to be a minister and you were meant to preach, and that not to let her down. But she knows this. She knows this, and that this was this profound exchange, and it hurts at the time, and we don't understand until the Lord takes us through the process.
That's right.
Shows us why.
Well, I tell him all the time that even though I had this amazing marriage with Bob, I also came out of an addicted life, an abused life. I was a drug dealer and addicted to drugs for a long time.
I can't even believe this.
I was I was
taking, new creations.
I was taking Adderall like Tic Tacs as a believer while Bob was sick, drinking two bottles of wine at night to come down. And I got on my knees at the altar and I said to the Lord, I'm not leaving this place until you heal me. Because if you're taking Bob home, I'm not doing it like this. Yeah. And you are going to heal me. And he did. But I never would have done the things that God has called me to, what I'm doing now, the doors that he has opened, what he's called me to do now. I was in a different place. I was a different person. I would not have been able to do the things that I'm doing now when I was with Bob. There is an exchange. Mm-hmm. There's an exchange. There's a new season. There's a new calling. God knew what I needed when I was with Bob. I hid behind him to heal for a long time. And I took 2 years after Bob went home to go dive deep and to really deal with myself and to deal with what I needed to deal with, because God was preparing me for this season. And I had to walk into this season whole and healed.
Amen. You know, you can't, I tell people all the time, you can't circumvent the process.
No.
You can't circumvent it. You can't take shortcuts in it. God has a process to prepare you where he has to put you. And so therefore you have to be willing to go through that boot camp and that training with him and that growth and go through growing pains, because growing is painful, but it is so necessary. You know, and greatness is never born of easy circumstances.
That's right.
It's never.
People think that we go from that to the platform and it was that easy. It's not. It is hard. Mm-hmm. And you have to be willing to sacrifice. You have to be willing to go through what God's taking you through to get there. And it is hard work.
You know, go on first. Yeah, you go on, then I'll tell you guys something.
You see how you ladies are talking, so I'll see you later.
Yeah, get over here. Stop it.
you see the beginning of my book, Humpty Dumpty Ain't Got Nothing to Do. You hear that testimony?
Well, I was just gonna say to you too, just now, that when the Lord gives you a platform, whether it's the Dog the Bounty Hunter series, whether it's what you and Francie do now, I know she does bounty hunting with you also, but you're going to go through some things for his namesake.
That's right.
He gives you a platform, you're going to go through that.
Platform, I'm willing to share, especially with her, but to everybody, you know, I don't care what it is. You know, I've had people say, oh, don't let them take advantage of you. I don't care. You know, that platform, my first name is God spelled backwards as the bikers name me. And I just, you know, go ahead, use the platform because God gave it to me. So as long as you're using it for good, I don't care.
Well, we're always using the platforms for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
The platform is for the kingdom, period.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. It is, you know, and I had written something down from page 47. That I had read, and you said, and this is what you said, even now with all the bad things I had done, this is back when you were sort of transitioning, all the bad things you had done, it seemed God wasn't finished with me. He had called me when I was a boy and I couldn't escape him.
Yeah.
Amen. I could not. And constantly, you know, my conscience bothered me. At one time I said, you know, God's busy in Vietnam. It's okay. But always, 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 constantly, you know, he forgave and recruited and forgave. And as Francie says, you know, the book is a calling card. If God can forgive me, and I was flat out evil, then God can forgive anybody. And all through the scriptures, men or women, you know, with Samson, David, all the people that, they've actually done worse things than I did, I guess. Well, but, you know, God is a forgiving God. He never, ever wants, he did not design hell for humans. He designed it for Satan and his treacherous traitor angels. So I think God is constantly giving us a break and a break and a break and a break. And a lot of people finally, if they don't take that break, it's going to be, I'm studying the book of Enoch, and I'm not supposed to say that, and a lot of pastors don't like it. But if they don't,
I've read it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Isn't it incredible?
And
if they don't do, if they don't, you know, it's very simple to get saved. You just say it, and then the faith starts to grow and grow. And we have a member of my family that is starting to grow. I just met him. We both did, and we went to church with us. And I thought I was supposed to go in there and get him saved, and it didn't happen, and waited. And as we walked outside, this guy, he's big. My boy's big like him. And this guy started saying, my son said, how do I get saved? And God took the wheel right there. So,
because God knew exactly what he needed.
Yeah.
At the moment he needed it. And that's what he's done in all of us. And God is a restorer and a redeemer. It doesn't matter where you came from.
That's right.
He wants to restore and redeem what the enemy has tried to rob and steal from all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But Amen. We have to be willing. We that's have to be willing. Thing.
Yeah, and I'll beat him into submission, too.
Sometimes the Lord does that. Okay, you want to plow, wrestle you into submission, the Lord
and
does.
And she says, she laughs, but she does, too. She takes some of them women and threatens them.
I do. Whatever. I do not.
Okay, we're supposed to be honest on this show, friends.
Well, you know, it's interesting because when we go through our wrestling matches with the Lord and the whys, I call them the why this, the why that, you know, why is this happening? And you really start to wrestle with God is when you really grow.
That's
you really grow and you seek and you let the Lord take you out into deeper waters to understand more when, you know, when you're ready to be able to digest that. And I was going to tell you with the book of Enoch, you know, up until when the King James Bible was commissioned, that was all together.
Yeah.
The Apocrypha, and it was all together. I mean, and then about 200 years ago, a couple of progressive Protestant scholars, I believe, are the ones who separated it.
Well, you know why? Because Enoch was kin to, I think, great-grandson Adam.
Yes.
And he was such a good guy that he went walking in the garden one day. God just took him away.
Look, I mean, he just never came back.
So just like Elijah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And another one, Metrobulaval, or what's his name? There's three that haven't, you know, the three witnesses that come back, a lot of us believe that in Revelations, that, you know, those guys, man, you know, they just went, they just didn't come back, or they flew in a chariot, or they just couldn't be found anymore. So I believe
God just took them home.
God took them home. So I believe that has, you know, Satan's still a ruler of this world. So I think that in almost everything. So I think that's a lot of the reason they left Enoch out of the Bible.
And there's heavy stuff in there, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some very heavy things to digest in there.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted to, I want to get into with the two of you because I found this story amusing about your honeymoon and what happened on your honeymoon when you get married. This is wonderful. And now you're going to go on your honeymoon. And this Gabby Petito case just sweeps across the news, right? Like wildfire begins to just take hold. And this is what you had said. This is on page 179. And what happens is you are wrestling with yourself because you really want to go hunt down.
Yes.
Brian. Yeah. And you're having this wrestling because you're on your honeymoon and you want to do what your wife wants to stay. You're going, well, I will stay, but I really want to go. And so Francie discerns this. And she comes to you and she says, honey, do you want to go there? And you wrote, so bad, is what you answered. And she goes, okay, let's go tomorrow. And you wrote, God, I love that woman.
Yes, because I might not have written this. You know, after you write a book, you forget half what you wrote. But because I was supervised. But so I lost a daughter at the same age. And all my fans were
Barbara
like, oh, you know, Barbara Katie, you know what it feels like, dog, you know. And then I'm like, I told her before we left, Francie, it's 300-400 miles, 6 hours away from where we're going on the honeymoon. So everything is kosher. And lo and behold, I get there and I Google, I Googled how far it was away. Google's a Baptist or, you know, an atheist. So I Googled how far away, or what's your name? That's Google. The girl that talks you don't like.
Oh, Siri.
Siri. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So,
and it was like,
it was 4 to 6 hours.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. It was a long way away. So when I got, oh, when I got there, my phone, see how she,
that's Siri, isn't it?
Yeah. She's demon possessed. So as soon as we get there, I Google it again and say, Siri, how far? And she goes, it's 100 miles.
Yeah.
So then I go in, you know, almost down on my knees, like she made me do when I asked her to marry her. Never heard of that. And I say, Francie, I'm so sorry.
It's a thing.
Yeah, whatever. So I said, Francie, you know, I'm very sorry. And I started to, you know, give the old dog-isms, right? And I was so surprised that she said, honey, if you want to go, let's go. And then I didn't write this in the book.
Hey, I thought I was going to get to taste somebody, and I was ready to see him in action.
Well, let me finish this. So I get up to the door at
the Landry's
house.
Yeah.
And
I'm
so
like, go get him, dog.
She's like, go get him, baby. And I'm like, you know, I know the dad's got a shotgun, and he ain't going to care if he shoots me. So it's the first time I got to show her how brave I am, right? So I hadn't spoken tongues in a long time. So I got out of the car. I'm starting with God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Right. And then it was named the knock that was heard around the world. Mm-hmm. And I got up there just, you know, I wasn't scared, but I was worried. Right. And I did that knock and backed away from the door. And looked around, and how many reporters were there?
Oh my gosh, they were coming out. Well, when we first pulled up to the Laundry's, the parents' house,
yeah,
there was hardly anybody out there. And they had told us that the reporters had rented every lawn and rooftop and all that. And we were like, okay, this is going to be easy. The second he stepped out of the car, they came running from everywhere, backyards, garages, around cars, all over the place. And all of a sudden, there's like 50, 60 reporters surrounding the rental car and in the front yard. And they had people had been driving by their house and throwing laundry baskets all over their front yard. And so the whole front yard was covered in laundry baskets. And
they had a statue of dog or something in laundry.
Well, that was like days later. People were putting like cutouts of dog holding Brian around the neck
and
their front yard.
The neighbor was blasting dirty laundry.
It was bad.
Well, that was our honeymoon.
That was our honeymoon. But you know, it was exciting. So,
thank you.
And that's when you find out that Francie is cut out for bounty hunting.
Oh, yeah. the one time the guy, I told her,
I am hood and holy. So
there you go.
I fit right in.
I like that. Right, I like that term a lot.
I'll quiet.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, one time I brought her, first time I think. And the cops are coming to this guy's house. And she's like, I'm going to go talk to the cops. And I go, Francie, and she doesn't remember this. I said, Francie, get over there and get down on one knee in case he comes out the side. And the guy was in the house. The cops wouldn't let us search the stoops. And so Francie goes, I hope he does come out. I can't wait to shoot him. And so she don't remember this either. So at midnight or something, the guy turned himself in. We were on the way there and they called us and said, no. And the guy said, they said, why'd you turn yourself in? And he said, I heard dog's new wife say, I can't wait. If he comes out, I'm a shooting. So right then I knew this woman can hunt. And she was a hunter of animals.
Yeah.
You know, I forget who said some great hunter, a man that was a hunter that said the greatest thing to hunt is humans. Now fast forward, now we're hunting souls. Mm-hmm. And we're going after him, two to funk at full blast.
Yes, you had said you caught 10,000 criminals, yeah, right? And you asked the Lord for 10,000 souls.
Well, we need a million because like, you know, it doesn't depend on the size of the altar call. Francis taught me that, you know, a lot of times has them raise their hands right where they sit and in Jesus' name. And I repent constantly. She makes me. And I always say the sinner's prayer.
She makes
and the
me.
Holy Ghost makes me do that. And I say it out loud every time the sinner's prayer. Jesus, come into my heart again, and Jesus, wipe my sins away, and I believe you're there. You know, it's just, and I hope I'm saying that during the rapture. I hope I'm saying the sinner's prayer as the Lord comes, because I don't want to be grabbing onto her heels and take me with you, Francis.
Well, you know, I do Psalm 51 a lot. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Hey, he does.
Here, I'm leaving again, you girls.
No. He does not give himself enough credit. So stop it. Whatever. Because let me tell you, the demons know what he carries. Because there are many places that we go in parking lots and at gas stations, and demons will start howling and screaming when he gets out of the car.
I'm not surprised.
So what he carries is powerful. Mm-hmm. And we know that God has called us to pull people from the gates of hell. Dog and I've been at the gates of hell. And we have come back. And God has saved us from that place and restored us and redeemed us. We know what we're called to. We know that we're called to pull people out of the darkest places because of where we've come from. So don't sell yourself short of what you carry.
Well, in Jude, I think it is, where Michael the archangel was contending with the body of Moses.
With the body, yep.
And dare not bring railing accusations against the devil. So constantly I'm calling him a prick. So I got
you're probably not far off from that mark.
I love her.
I love her.
So I got to watch saying that, right? Because I'm like, you son of a, you didn't have a mother. I mean, because then it seems like if I call him a prick, I fall down or something. Right? So I got to watch just as Jesus said, it is written, punk. Or no, it is written.
It is written.
You know, in that exchange between Jesus and the enemy, when he was basically thrown into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit and tested for 40 days.
Wow.
It's interesting because the scripture that Satan chose to quote was from Psalm 91. So that's proof. A, he knows scripture.
That's right.
And he'll try to use it. Okay.
He knows it better than we do.
And he's a better spinner than Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, yeah. He is the father of lies. He goes up there and accuses God. The spin zone with Bill O'Reilly.
Well,
this is a no spin zone. Yes.
I was thinking the other day, you know, I know he led praise and he was the prettiest angel in heaven. And a lot of pastors say, you know, he was. I don't think so. Now, I think now if he fell like lightning from heaven, lightning carries electricity. I think he's all disfigured and melted.
Oh, maybe now. You mean now?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's possible.
I think that his figure is all bleh, and melted and all that. I don't think, you know, he looks like
Brad Pitt.
You
think he got nuked?
I don't think he looks like Brad Pitt anymore. I think that he is like funky. Like,
hey, I bet you're right. I never thought about that, but I'm sure he's not what he was in heaven, the most beautiful angel as he was thrown down. I bet there's something to that.
Electricity through his old body.
Yeah.
He melted like wax.
Yeah. That's how quick God put down that rebellion. Yep. That's how it was over in a second. That's how fast it ended.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you sure we're all not related?
We might be. You never know.
We're grafted into the Jews, right?
Yeah, that's we are. Yes, we're adopted in. We're grafted in. And you had said something. Now, this I find that a lot of people come to a realization of this at some point in their life when they begin to really like grow in the Lord, and the Lord gets a big hold of them, and they begin to re-examine their prayer life and their prayer walk and things of that nature. This is towards the end of the of your book, and you say this. You had said that a fair amount of your prayers had been about making deals with God.
Yeah.
And you talk about Moses and the golden calf incident in Exodus, and what we'll call the golden calf gate, because that's what happened. Right. And that if Moses could get God to change his mind, you could too. And so you say you've never been ashamed of your faith. However, when you met Francie and saw her relationship with the Lord was a daily thing, you began to realize you mostly went to God for things you wanted or needed.
Yes.
And that began to change.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's like a lot of my friends when I call them because I need something, mm-hmm. you know, and Francie's just praising it through the storms. What's the deal, Bill? She just praising God all the time. I'm like, how come she gets all these prayers answered, gets all these touches, and all I do is sit there and cry and repent, you know? And I that is true, that God, you know, we can go to him when we're happy and we are sad and want something, but we can also go to him when we're happy. So, yeah, I mean, and I, you know, I'm going to confess, when I asked God, and it's in the book when I said, I don't want to sit around the throne praising you all the time. I want to ride a cherubim, and I want to go and kill demons. And I want to, I'm a soldier, God. I'm a warrior, right? And then I go to this thing we just went to, and the preacher spoke about praising. And I'm like, oh, and we're all praising in one accord. And Mike, I thought I was being lifted off the ground, and slowly, it was amazing. So,
oh, the last night of the Dominion meeting at Rod Parsley's.
Uh-huh.
Jensen Franklin.
Spoke. Yes.
Oh, wow. My gosh. The floors of the building were rocking.
Yeah, literally.
He just knocked it out of the park. And it was about be your own worship. Bring your own worship and worship him constantly. And, you know, that for me, that I just almost fell over when I heard him say that, because I'm a worshiper and
yes.
I have the heart of worship. My life is about worship. And he just took it to a whole new level, and the house was rocking for sure.
Well,
so it was
amazing. Your spiritual mother, Michelle, she, you guys would worship together on the phone and all that. So finally, I got enough intestinal fortitude last couple days ago to say, Francie, I want to worship with you too. And
yeah.
So we did on the way home. We was driving
yep.
in the car from the kind of here.
The airport.
And we
yep.
was worshiping in the car. And, you know, it's just worship is, I wish I would have known this one. That's why it's 9 lives and counting.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to do another one. But, it's just amazing. The worship of God is just, wow.
Changes everything.
You know, and of course the bread and the wine and it, there's so many combinations to get that safe open there. And we're being taught now, our generation, mine, the baby boomers, you guys are much younger, but how to do it instead of Jesus bless his food in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, let's grow. So many things. Now it's the court. God's the high court.
He's
the
yep.
dirt. Yeah, I speak into the dirt. There's so many things. And as we all know, towards the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And his spirit is being poured. We always pray with the waiters and the waitresses. Let's say a prayer right now. When we started, they'd be, and now they're, you know, one lady got down on her knees when Francie was praying. And she'd been healed of cancer. Remember that last
yeah.
year? So
that's amazing.
God's spirit is being poured out on all flesh. So if anybody's listening to this, whether wherever you are and you're a sinner, you got a problem, brother, sister. God is after you. And here's what I like too. Is
yeah.
This is God knew. Predestined is what we call it. Francie, what the Bible
God
said,
already knew.
That this would happen. That this, you, all of us would be here. And that person that just tried to tune in and it won't go away, God knew you and knew this day was the day. And if you don't do it, you're going to hell. Yeah. And there's nothing we can do to stop it.
No, I mean, yeah, Jesus Christ said, nobody comes to the Father but through him. It's in black and white. He makes it very clear on that. And praise, my husband is a worshiper. I am too, but my husband just, he absolutely just loves it. And it's a weapon. Praise and worship is a weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down and destruction of strongholds. And it truly is. I'm half asleep in the morning in my mucking boots and my robe going out to feed the sheep and the pig and Simeon and just going, I praise you, Lord. Half asleep. I'm just like on autopilot now. I praise you, I bless you. As I'm getting the feed, as I'm walking around, you get into the habit of it.
Yeah,
that's her. That's her. And I don't mean predestined. I mean, he
God
knew.
God already knew.
In the womb, he knew what was going to go down. You know, so that. But yeah, she does that constantly. And, you know, now I've got to, you know, because I'm a very competitive person. Mm-hmm. And you ain't getting ahead of me, Francia. And man, this is amazing. Just amazing. It's just amazing. And then you too, Amanda. You're the best interview. We've done so many.
Yeah.
I mean, the way you quote scripture and the way your heart is and the way, and you're even pretty, you know what I mean? So.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so it's.
You are beautiful, by the way.
I appreciate. So are you, Francie. So are you. You are. I love your hair long, by the way.
Thank you so much.
I love it long. It looks amazing.
Thank you so much.
And you wave it once in a while too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the Bronx Italian look going on.
I love it.
Yep, that's where I'm from originally. Me and my husband are like the remake of Green Acres because he's from the country. He's born in the country. I'm born in the Bronx, New York, from the city, and we have a pig. We are the remake of Green Acres.
I love it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So
awesome.
Do you find now, and I believe the answer is going to be a resounding yes, but do you find now you are ministering more dog than you ever have in your life, that you are just,
because, so much. And it's, you know, a lot of the show, now they're seeing Francie, you know, and again, I don't mean to give her kudos because you and I, you know, together, but I got to watch what I say because she gets upset.
That's all women. With their husbands.
Yes, but since, you know, people, we do videos, she'll do one, get thousands of hits, and I do one, get thousands of hits, and we're doing them together now, and people like to see that. We get way more than we do, you know, being separate. So people like to see that, you know. It's just, what did you call us? The power couple.
The kingdom power couple.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of him because it doesn't matter where we are, even when we're in a hurry and we're trying to get to a flight, he will stop and pray over somebody that looks sad, or his discernment is off the chain.
Yeah.
Your prophecy is off the chain.
He will stop and pray over somebody that God shows him as we're walking by. And I just roll with it because I know God's speaking to him, and I know that somebody's about to get healed or freed or set free or delivered of something. And that's so right. I'm just like, okay, God, you know that we need to get to this flight and you got this. And so in the grocery store, in parking lots, it doesn't matter where we are. And
I have it at the diner. Yeah, wherever you go. You know, it happens to us at the diner that we go to a lot. My husband likes to, you know, go on Saturday mornings. And, the Lord has us many times. Somehow, some way, we end up ministering there.
Yes.
Well, and I spoke with Tony Robbins from 80 till 91, Anthony Robbins.
Yeah.
And he's a name dropper. I mean, Tony admits it and he drops the name. And I am too, because I was, you know, raised under Tony Robbins, right?
Yeah.
And so I told her this a couple of days ago. We wear matching Jesus bracelets and Jesus, and Yeshua. Got it right.
Yeshua HaMashiach.
When you prayed, when you started praying like that, instantly the Spirit hit me. I am a name dropper. and God told me, you're going to drop my name, and I'm the guy that plants the seed. And we have witnessed to some people lately, we have, and Francie prayed with this one guy, gave him a book, and he got saved, and we've never heard from him. And it made me sad, like Jesus wept. I just realized that when the rich man walked away and wouldn't follow him, and we were both thinking, man, this kid, why didn't he call? But we plant the seed.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And we are name dropper and seed dropping Jesus, Yeshua. Drop. Yeshua, right?
Yeah. Yeshua, yeah. HaMashiach. Yep. Jesus the Christ. Yep.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have, well, the Holy Spirit too, the Ruach HaKodesh. That's the Holy Spirit.
You know all those words?
Yeah.
She was raised Jewish. Wait till you get her book. She was raised Jewish. She thought she was a Jew till she was 14 or 15, looked around inside the temple and said, how come I'm the only blonde in here? So she, in our wedding, she did, what is it called, Makaka? What is it called?
I did the prayer in Hebrew.
And we had
after
one of those,
our wedding. And
he
stomped the glass to sand because he said,
oh, mazel tov. Yep. With the breaking of the glass at the end.
Well,
yes.
I didn't know.
Well, I prayed the prayer in Hebrew, and then I told him, you're supposed to step on the glass. And he said, well, what does that mean? And I said, may it be as hard to put this glass back together to break our love apart. So he smashed it. And the glass was so broken down that it was like sand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because nothing, he said, nothing is ever going to tear us apart.
And then we have one of them Hamashimagabas over our head.
Yes. I know what you're talking about. You know, the reason why I know all these things too is because my father, right, who was born on Gun Hill Road in the Bronx, that's where he's from originally. He, for 30 years, where he's in heaven now, my dad, but when he was alive for 30 years, he worked for Manischewitz and Kadem, two of the biggest Jewish food distributors.
Yes.
And he would drive them nuts. Oh my, they loved him, but he would purposely like drive them nuts. And so basically I would have to learn this because he would have to, you know, come home and talk about it and do planograms, all sorts of things. So I knew Rosh Hashanah, Passover, you know, all the high holy days when they were coming around, because my father would get grumpy because he'd have to work extra, making sure everything was out. And so I knew they were coming. And then the Jewish weddings and the men on one side and the women on the other and the entire ceremony from start to finish and the Orthodox Jews and the whole deal. And so he even called me one day hysterical laughing. He was in Monroe, New York. He said, I just got pulled over by the Hasidic police. They asked what I was doing in their town. He said, I'm stocking your shelves.
All I knew was Meshuggah.
That's crazy. Yes. Meshuggah is, I have used that word many times.
Yes. And she was like, you know, when I prayed for a Christian Holy Ghost, and I have got so many Jewish friends. One of my greatest friends just got saved. And he said, I'm going to heart surgery, dog. And just in case Jesus is real, can we do a prayer? And I tried to push it off to Francie to pray with him. And she's like, no, you're going to pray with him.
Yes.
So they do are the God's chosen people, absolutely chosen. But we are grafted in. But we have a lot of, I don't think we have any atheist friends, really, because there ain't no such thing. The Bible says they all know. Come on.
They know. Jesus,
kind of cool. Bro, take a lie detector test. You think you're an atheist?
We should make them do that.
Yes.
Do that for sure. But, well, you know, atheists are a whole different breed together. I think it's much easier sometimes to deal with them, right, than to deal with, you know, other types of faiths. But,
true.
When this was all said and done, when you finished this book, did you feel like you had just truthfully and very in a raw way just poured it all out and said, here it is, Lord?
Well, I did, but and counting.
Yes.
Because I'm in a new motorcycle
club. There's more.
There's more, you know, more that, and so I want to do another book. You know, you don't make that much on books anymore. But what I did say is that, you know, my mother used to say to me that the Bible says that when someone gives to their life to the Lord, the whole heaven parties. So I'm like thinking, man, there's parties going on all the time. So I said, Lord, and I said it in the book, that, you know, I know that the rich man was in heaven or was in hell and the, or whatever it's called, and the poor man was in heaven. There's a big gap and they could see each other. Yeah. And I know that my mama is once in a while gets to see me with Francie. And I know that I said in the book, when you read this book and I'm gone, and I'm going to ask the Lord, as you give your life, this is the best part of the book to me, as you give your heart to God, because you read Dog's book, I'm going to be like that, that God will just let me look down and see you do it. And that, I think, you know, bigger than any of the stories that are in there, I think that is the, you know how the firecrackers, there's a, what do you call it? When it's
finale.
All a finale, yeah. And it keeps going and going. So it's yeah. nine lives and counting, because yeah. God is just, because
there's so much more.
Yeah.
Exactly. Your two story is not over by a long shot. It's not no. The two of you together with the Lord has you doing, and you had a praying mama.
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I always say, my coach Dan has told me, always talk about that, because you know, I have 13 kids, one in heaven.
God bless you.
A lot of them are gone, and a lot of them are not coming, but I tried to raise them all in the Lord. And the Bible says they will, it don't say they may stray, but they shall never depart. Whether it's their last breath when Jesus is knocking on the door mm-hmm. and they let him in. And I don't tell a lot of sinners that, but about the knocking on the door part. So, I just know that God is there to forgive, and I just want them to, you know, read the book and realize that, you know, that that's what Dog did. So if I can be forgiven, yeah. anyone can.
Amen. That is a mouthful right there, because we all sin and fall so short of the glory of God. And everybody that Jesus chose to be his disciples, or the yeah. Lord chose to right. raise up, right? The, you know, they, it wasn't the one that was, you know, the nicey nice, you know what I mean? Did everything yeah. right. That's you know, right. it was always someone that just had a lot of baggage and had been through a lot of things. And the Lord said, you know what, I'm going to take all of that. And I am, because the Lord likes those odds. He likes the impossible odds. He likes it when people have written somebody off and he raises them up. That's where that's he right. operates.
That's
well,
right.
and the only rat scum in the bunch was Judah.
Oh, you mean Judas? Yes.
Judas, yeah.
He was, Judas. I know. And Jesus knew what he was from the beginning. And that had to be hard, because he knew what he was from the beginning. And he had to, you know, he had to endure with that. So it's, you know, that was a test for him and his, you know, in his flesh in itself, knowing yes. what Judas was and what he was going to do yeah. and still showing him love.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. It's a testament right there.
And what's it say? Judas hung himself, do they self likewise?
They
and so no. So I always get afraid to
stop it.
I always get afraid to point in the Bible, you know, because the Pentecostal people will tell you, just don't point down and read a scripture, because you might hit Judas hung himself, do thyself likewise.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's in the Bible.
That sounds like Pentecostals. I was raised in a Pentecostal
yeah,
church in the Bronx.
I don't even know if it's there. I was going to tell Francie, is that really there? And so is it? I don't even know. But so I do a lot of the pointing down. Lovest mm-hmm. thou me, feed my sheep. I mean, there's, I'm a pointer.
That's okay. We're almost at an hour. It flew by.
Sorry. Yes,
sorry.
It did
flew
fly by.
Didn't it?
Yes.
But I would love for two things. So for you to tell people where they can buy your book, Nine Lives and Counting, first of all.
Go ahead.
Anywhere books are sold.
Amazon.
Okay. I make 11, yes. 11 cents a book. So
okay.
Anywhere books are sold.
Yeah, anywhere yes. books are sold. And
okay.
Amazon, you can go to the website, Nine Lives, and I think it's ninelives.dogthebountyhunter.com.
That's
okay.
so much.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So we have that up on the screen for everybody. And thank number you. Two, if you would like to end in prayer,
absolutely.
You can pray.
Fancy.
Dog.
Light them up, baby.
Father, we love you so much.
Thank you, Lord, for this.
Thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing in our lives, in Amanda's lives, in our ministries. Thank you that you loved us so much, that you took us from the depths of where we had gone and pulled us up into a place of changing lives and making a difference for the kingdom. And I just pray over every single person that is listening to this show today, that you would have your Holy Spirit show them how loved they are, how cherished they are, that no matter what they carry, the sin, yes, the shame, Lord, the depression, the anxiety, the hopelessness, all of those things, Lord, are not beyond your reach. You love every single one of us, and you want to heal us from all of those places that the enemy has taken us to. So I pray that you would touch every person that is listening, that you would heal them and show yourselves to them, that they would have an encounter with you that they have never experienced before. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you for how much,
yes, Lord,
you have changed us.
Thank you, Lord.
And continue to change us, mm-hmm, and continue to heal us and continue to take us to the places that we need to go. In Jesus' name.
And Father God, you said, yes, your word will not come back void.
Yes, yes.
So in the name of Jesus, and all of heaven shall rejoice. Thank you for this, God. Let it get out there. Let it be out everywhere. This program was fantastic. And Jesus, take the wheel. In Jesus', yes, precious name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. That was wonderful. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you for
doing
it. Thank
you
for
having us.
Aloha.
Oh, it was wonderful. Oh, you're very kind. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I love the two of you. I hope to see you in New York at some point.
Yes, absolutely.
We would too.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Wonderful.
Reach out.
Oh, reach out. Yes. Yes. Please do. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Aloha.
God bless. And that was quite our time with Dog and Francie. What a dynamic couple. What an amazing couple. And what an amazing testimony they have. I mean, it's just been incredible what the Lord has brought them through, has done with them, and continues to do with them. So you can go and get his book. I have it right here. I'll show it to you. Right here, 9 Lives and Counting. And there's the website for it. It's been a wonderful time. You know, it's fun with them because it's real and it's raw. And, you know, it's refreshing. And it has just been it's just been great to actually meet them and get to talk to them and interview with them. So thank you, everyone, for hanging in there with us today. God bless you. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. Also, Psalms 123, 34, 35, and 51, which is the Create in Me a Clean Heart, O God, Psalm, which I say very often. I think we all need to do that and check our heart posture. Ephesians chapters 1 and 3 in the book, The Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin. The first few pages have scripture from those chapters that I read every single day and declare. We also encourage you to say the Lord's Prayer, because Jesus taught his disciples to pray that way. There is an order to that prayer, and we encourage you in that as well. So we just encourage you to go forth in the Word. Get into the habit of being in the Word of God every day. It is current, living, and active for every generation, and is truly transforming. So thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. We love you, and we will be back on soon. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So, as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together, and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rafa for Women, Rapha means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural. And I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you could go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today, and Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hey everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and you can use promo code ARK10 for a 10% discount.